It's member-supported Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Dave Lawrence. All things considered, pair of guests joining us this afternoon. Jack Cassidy, Yorma Makaukinen, Hot Tuna, core members of Jefferson Airplane. It's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame members. Aloha, mahalo, welcome.
Thanks,
nice
man.
Great to be here.
I had Yorma on, and the thing that invited questions that would go beyond music said you guys started playing together as friends, as partners, 1958.
Yep.
I don't think there's a lot of folks, if they think about themselves and they're listening, they're like, was I doing anything with anyone back in 58? I'm still with them. When you hear a number like that, what does it make you think?
I think it's only been fairly recently I realize how unique that is. As we get older and older and the friendship flourishes, we have memories and base points in our relationship that have nothing to do with the business of music. My mom used to fix some roast beef sandwiches, and I'd go over to his house, and his grandma would be putting out a lunch or a spread or something, and we'd be running around as kids starting to get interested in music, something to do together, rather than a traditional go out and play football or play sports, steal cars or whatever. When you look back on it, that was the glue and the common bond, as we had almost a four-year spread in age, and I was finishing junior high and he was going off to college. The Vietnam War was heating up in the early 60s, and I worked in clubs and then got myself back in college because you had to, or else you were automatically drafted. But we hooked up again in earnest in 1965 when he invited me out to California to join the just-put-together Jefferson Airplane. And I came out in October 1965.
That's amazing. You can still remember the month, the year. I mean, we're going way back.
Oh, I remember, because I had dropped out of school, except I had just gone back to Montgomery Junior College.
Was it on his invite? Did you drop out?
Yeah, exactly. It's your fault, Yorma, and thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We kept in touch. We used to run up together. Actually, when he used to go to New York, I'd take a train up from D.C. We'd meet and go to hear all the folk singers in the early 60s and hear Reverend Gary Davis. Then he moved out to California, and when we were talking on a phone conversation, he asked what I was doing. I said, I'm doing the usual thing, you know, is to keep myself in school and playing guitar and playing bass. And he said, you're playing bass now. I said, yeah. And he said, well, I just joined this band called Jefferson Airplane. It's a folk rock band. I said, you, the purist, joined a folk rock band? You got to be kidding me. So he said, listen, I'm not really wild about the present bass player. Let me talk to somebody and make a few calls. So he called back. He says, listen, we got this manager. This manager promises to pay us $50 a week whether we work or not. I said, you're on. I dropped out of school, got a plane ticket, my first plane ride, and joined the band in October.
The word you used, which really strikes me and completely pulling away from the music industry, you call him your oldest friend. I mean, I almost get choked up when I say it, talking about, I mean, I do, because it's like the seasons in the field thing. We're talking about a lot of seasons have come by.
You know?
We're not entering from the opposite sides of the stage like Sam and Dave. I think we don't really step on each other's territory. As people grow through a band format and gain popularity and status and all the stuff that goes with it, and your own little acolytes, your own little sycophants that follow you around and all that, I think it's detrimental to the human element and friendship, and you start going off in your own little camps and competing with each other.
You know, people are always talking about Jefferson Airplane reunions. The Airplane was an interesting band. We got in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because of two songs that were actually songs, White Rabbit and Somebody to Love. The magic of what happened with the band was more about us, in my opinion, as a live band than anything else. We had a lot of these great songs, they're very complex, but we didn't have a legion of hits. I'm going to mention the Eagles. I'm not critical of a band like the Eagles that has a string of hits. It's not bad to have a string of hits. You don't have to worry about sending your kid to college. But with their scene, as I look at it from the distance of being an outsider, is they need to play those songs the way they were on the records. And pretty much from what I've heard of the stuff, that's how they do it. And I guess that's okay. The Airplane, because of the way it evolved, the fact that Grace doesn't sing anymore, et cetera, et cetera, we tried a reunion in 89. It didn't really work because we didn't have that kind of a catalog of stuff to relive. That's the bad news. The good news is that we don't have that kind of a catalog of stuff to relive. Sure, Jack and I are playing songs we've been playing for 50 years. They mutate constantly. Our audience, God bless them, does not require that it sounds the way it did. And we're allowed to evolve even when playing old songs. And that's cool. As being an artist in a deal that has a lot of longevity, to have to go out and do the same set year after year, to me, what a drag that would be. Aside from the fact that I could never remember how to do that stuff like that either. And sure, when I go listen to an artist that I like, sure, you want to hear the soundtrack of your life. And I get that. That's
what you identify with.
Sure. And listen, that's powerful stuff. You know, that's one of the reasons that we're still around as a commercial entity. But even the people that like or whatever song they want to hear, they'll also allow us to play new stuff. That's magic.
They'll allow you to also interpret it the way that you want at that point in your life.
Absolutely. And you're right. And that's a blessing. I mean, you just, you know.
Because we keep it challenging in the sense what we give people, particularly in this acoustic format more than any other, is that entrance into our world of just sitting down across from each other. They allow the ghost to appear between us. There's Jorma, there's Jack, and then there's that entity that's Jorma and Jack. When Jorma and I play, we listen to each other for that. That can guide you. If you listen to that, then that'll lead me to what my next note's going to be. And it's really mysterious stuff, but you got to be Johnny on the spot. It's not casual at all. When I was 12, 13, 14, and listening to my dad's collection of jazz records, the stuff that I really liked that dad had was like stuff coming out of the late 20s and early 30s. There was small jazz combo stuff because of that mix of the instruments, because they played off of each other. And that stayed with me my whole life.
Less is more is often really a big deal. You said something really interesting about that. You're here acoustic, but you're not always acoustic. And when he talks about being able to adapt the songs to where you are now, I was watching 1976, Portchester, Capitol Theater.
Yeah.
Funky number 7. I wrote the words, "If I live tomorrow like I'm living today, there ain't no way to borrow. Look for me to stay." You had the fro. You're just the tone you had. What a savage monster on that. But yet, I saw a video from last year. You're still playing that and you're working it in and adapting it to where you're at now.
I have to praise Jorma for lyrics, because the lyrics are what lead me to different notes. Lyrics that don't pin you down to, say, your high school graduation or something like that.
Not that there's anything wrong with
that. No, not that there's anything wrong with that. But for me, lyrics that are a little more open to interpretation but personal.
And as a lyricist, writing lyrics is an interesting thing, because obviously one has an idea about what they're trying to say. As often as not, people have no idea what you're really trying to say. And that used to, in some way, you said, well, they have no idea what I really meant. But what I've come to appreciate over the years, if it triggers something, you know, that's a good thing. The other thing is, a set to me is dynamically like a song. And so when I put things together, I write things out so it flows in some way, so it has a beginning, middle, and an end. But of course, we change stuff all the time on the fly. But it's nice to have a point of departure. Otherwise, and this is not just a factor of being an aging musician, otherwise it's like all of a sudden you know all these songs and you just can't think of one that you want to play. Yeah, and sometimes it works better than others. If you're not doing it all the time, if you're playing once a week, once a month, whatever it is, all the marbles are on that night. And if it's not as good as you thought it was, it's like, oh man, how am I ever going to recover from this disaster? But we get to do it every night. And sure, some nights are better than others, but we get to recover from the disaster more quickly.
Well, we're lucky. One, that you came back to the state, but the second thing is, just as I say, thank you for doing this. So on behalf of anyone who enjoys this, and on behalf of myself and the radio station, very grateful that you would enter our Atherton Performing Arts Studio.
Our pleasure. Yeah. Your air conditioning is great, by the way.
You're liking that. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very
appreciate
much.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.